These three quick tweets to read to open up the show. Denton's here. I am here. They are from Ralph, Greg, and Trevor. Ralph writes, Kevin, is this really happening? I think it is, but I'm guessing this weekend is the wake-up reality moment. From Greg, we've beaten the Browns, Cardinals, Giants, and Bengals. The combined records of those teams is 6-14. Sunday, the luck turns. We're not in the same league with the Ravens. Yeah, we are. We actually are. We're in the NFL. They're in the NFL. And then this from Trevor. And this one really gets me. A win against the Ravens is just icing on the cake. It won't happen, but if it does, great. And if it doesn't, we're still in good shape at 4-2 with an easier schedule ahead. Good morning, everybody. We got a lot on the show today, and you're going to be involved on the show today. We didn't get to all of you who wanted to weigh in yesterday after the easy win over Cleveland. Look, this may come off as a bit harsh or mean-spirited, but that's loser talk. I mean, loser talk. Have you watched this team for 5 weeks? I don't care who the opponents have been. They have annihilated the last two opponents, as they should have. By the way, you know who didn't annihilate the Cardinals on Sunday? Greg, the 49ers. You know, the Bengals, who are 1-4, the opponent that we're playing this weekend, won in overtime by 3 and had to withstand a fumbled botch snap on a field goal in overtime to get a chance to win that game. Look, the Ravens are good. I watched that Bengals game. I watched the condensed version. Our offense right now, they should be afraid of what's walking into M&T Bank's stadium Sunday with Jaden Daniels in this offense, because they got shredded by Cincinnati on Sunday. They were very lucky to win the game. Lucky to win the game. A missed field goal, a botched snap. Cincinnati got very conservative after recovering a Lamar Jackson fumble. Look, defensively, I'm concerned. I think there's still some limitations, and it's going to be the first legit test in a few weeks on Sunday. But Washington can absolutely win this football game. I mean, to just chalk it up as, we've harvested enough nuts for now. We're good with 4. You know, we can lose this game, and then, you know, maybe we'll get the Panthers to get our 5th win the following week. That's not the way the NFL works. Have you been watching this league this year or any year? Big underdogs win all the time. Like, every week it happens. Of course they can win this game Sunday. Baltimore's good. They've got pedigree. It's a great organization. Man, is their quarterback spectacular. Some of the plays he made Sunday against the Bengals when I went back and watched that game. And by the way, they blitzed the you-know-what out of him, and he threw from the pocket on Sunday against Cincinnati about as well as I've seen him throw it from the pocket. Everybody has seen the highlight play where he fumbled a couple of snaps in the game, but the one where he picked it up and then stiff-armed the would-be tackler and threw to Isaiah Likely in the end zone for a touchdown, he's great. Derrick Henry's great. You know, they've got some weapons, too, more so than they've had in the past. I mean, Zay Flowers, Bateman, they got 3 tight ends that basically play and catch balls. But this is not, you know, this is not a give-up situation. If you're going to do that, then you're going to be doing that a couple of more times this year. I mean, they still, you know, have games against the Steelers and the Eagles twice and the Cowboys. Stop it. They can absolutely go beat Baltimore on Sunday. I'm not predicting it, but I'm predicting that they're going to score a good amount of points on Sunday. I think they can attack the crap out of this Baltimore secondary in particular. I think they can run the football a little bit. I think they can throw it for sure. That's just an interesting mindset, one that I am not familiar with at all. It's okay if they lose this week because they've harvested enough early season wins. They're still going to be okay. You know, you don't know anything about the NFL. We've been talking about this for years. You know, the Panthers are tougher than they've been, or at least they were. None of these games are gimmies on any Sunday. The only game, honestly, that was a gimme on their schedule was the one they just played, because they played truly one of the worst offenses I've ever witnessed at the NFL level, with a quarterback that is toast. They should absolutely move on from him. He's mentally done. He's checked out. But, man, come on. I mean, I'm certainly not sitting down at 1 o'clock on Sunday thinking, let's just try to keep it close. Now, I did say last week that the place will go nuts if they beat Cleveland and then they beat Baltimore, or they were to lose a shootout, kind of a close game, that people will be super ready to start buying into something much bigger than, say, 9 or 10 wins. But I'm far from conceding that Washington doesn't have a chance Sunday. You know, all these power rankings are coming out. Baltimore and Washington are basically right next to each other, somewhere around 5 and 6, 6 and 7, 4 and 6, 4 and 7. I mean, for whatever that's worth, which isn't much, because nobody really knows that much about the NFL. These games are all their own entity. It's just anything can happen, pretty much, when you put teams out there that are capable, not the team Washington played on Sunday. I think they got a shot to win.
I think it's funny that one of the tweets mentioned the records of the opposition, as if like Baltimore was like they're only 3-2. Like, it's not like they're a 5-0 team. It's not like they're 14-1 or whatever they were last year, and they had this amazing defense. They still have a good defense, but this is not last year's Baltimore Ravens team. Like, their defense has a lot of flaws on it that you can very easily take advantage of, which, by the way, Cliff Kingsbury's been taking advantage of every defense that's been put in front of him. I feel like this is just people kind of looking for a safety net, because we're so, as a fan base, so used to getting our hopes up about things, because it's been, you know, 30 some odd years since this team has really been considered a good team in the NFL at any point in the season. I feel like that's what you're starting to see a little bit more. It's like these insecurities about, I don't know how to respond when we're good, so I'm just going to kind of expect the worst type of deal and just be happy with what we currently have.
There's no doubt that there is a lingering, you know, level of, this isn't real. Reality will come back just as it always does. It's PTSD in terms of being, you know, a fan of this team for a long time.
Can I cut you off for a quick second?
Yeah.
We have breaking NFL news.
Yeah.
The Jets just fired Robert Saleh.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, there was definitely not – something wasn't right and hasn't been right there with Aaron Rodgers and Saleh. Right? I mean, look, it's not their defense. It's been their offense. It was on Sunday. It was in recent weeks, maybe not in the opener against the 49ers. But there was something that was not right between the two of them.
That's stunningly early. That man got home from London and was served his papers. He's like, all right, see ya, thanks.
They don't have their bye week. They play Monday night, right? Don't they play the Bills Monday night?
Yeah, I think they're in action this week.
Well, who's going to be the coach?
Probably, is it going to be Nathaniel
Hackett?
It's going to be Aaron Rodgers' guy. He's doing a full hostile takeover of the Jets.
Who else is on that staff? I'm looking through it right now. Do they have, other than Hackett, who was a failed head coach, do they have any other? It doesn't look like it to me that they have any other head coaches. God, you know who's on that staff? I'm just looking through it right now. Ron Middleton. For those of you old enough to remember when the Redskins were good, Ron Middleton was a tight end for the team during 80s into the 90s. Into the 90s primarily. Early 90s. I think he may have been on the Super Bowl team. I think Ron Middleton may have been on the 91 team. But anyway. Wow. All right. There you go. Breaking news. Look, that's That division, by the way, is kind of all of a sudden open. You know, Buffalo won those first three games of the year, and everybody's like, you know, oh, the Bills, they're fine without Diggs. They're the favorites. They're certainly one of the favorites in the AFC. Josh Allen is going to win, you know, the MVP, and now they've lost back-to-back games against Baltimore and on Sunday against the Texans. And by the way, the coach took a battering for that, Sean McDermott did, and now they're 3-2. And it's the league, man. Things change. They've got a game basically in the Meadowlands Monday night for first place in the division. Like the Jets, even though they just looked horrible in their loss to Minnesota, looked horrible against Denver. If they win Monday night against the Bills, they're in first place at 500 in the AFC East. Back to our team. So there are a couple of things, you know, in thinking about just what we've witnessed through the first 5 weeks of the season. And it's hard, and I get it. I know that there is this lingering, you know, this dream's going to end kind of a thing. But there are a couple of things that I think are factual at this point. Number one is they're a good team. They're a very good team. I mean, it's not fluky. You know, the schedule hasn't been overly impressive in terms of the teams that they've beaten. But, you know, 4-1 is the record, and they have destroyed their last two opponents. Their offense has been literally unstoppable, and they did on a Monday night against a good football team, even though their record is 1-4. Cincinnati is a capable football team. They lost to the Chiefs by one at Arrowhead. They lost in overtime in a game they should have won against Baltimore on Sunday, and Washington went in there and beat them 38-33. I think there is nothing flukish about the 4-1. I think they're a very good football team right now. Wrap your arms around that, because I think it's true. It's true primarily because of Jaden Daniels. You know, he is the primary reason that the team is a very good team right now. I say very good. I say more than just good. I think offensively they are so high level right now that it makes them a very good team in today's NFL. Do they have limitations? Are there concerns? Yes. But right now, because of the offense and because they have a dude playing quarterback, they have one of those guys playing quarterback, I think they're a very good team. Jaden Daniels, simply put, is off to one of the greatest quarterback starts to an NFL career ever. No quarterback has ever thrown for over 1,000 yards and rushed for over 250. He's over 1,100 passing yards, 300 rushing yards in their first five starts. Daniels became the third rookie quarterback since the merger in 1970 to lead his team to four wins in its first five games under his, you know, playing, starting. Two other quarterbacks did it in the last 54 years. Joe Ferguson, the Bills quarterback back in the 70s, did it, and Dak Prescott did it in 2016 as a rookie. Time's going to judge, you know, whether or not what we're watching is an aberration or it's the trend, it's the norm. But the things that he has proven capable of doing in just five games is astounding. He can throw it anywhere on the field, from anywhere on the field. He throws it from the pocket when he's got time. He throws it from the pocket when he's under duress. He extends plays to run. He extends plays to throw. He seems to be totally aware as the quarterback of the team of down, distance, clock, game situation. He never, ever seems stressed about anything. He is currently still first in the league in completion percentage at 77.1%. He's third in the league in overall QBR. He's fifth in the league in passer rating. He's second in yards per pass attempt. He's second in the league in quarterback rushing yards behind Lamar. First in the league among quarterbacks rushing for first downs. Some of the other numbers will be out probably today, some of the EPA numbers. Looking forward to seeing some of those. But the bottom line is, I mean, through five games, you know, pretend he's not a rookie. Jaden Daniels is playing at an MVP level. MVP level. We broached this subject 2 weeks ago, and we kind of laughed it off after the Cincinnati game. But right now, and we talked about this yesterday, there are only four players in looking at all of the, you know, MVP offshore and onshore shops in terms of the numbers. There are only four players right now consistently ahead of him: Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and CJ Stroud. He is currently a top five favorite to win the NFL League MVP as a rookie. I know, it's just five games. They got 12 more. Understood. I'm just saying what it is right now. And I don't think anybody that's watched these first five would say, yeah, but what? He's done everything at an elite level. Elite level. There aren't more than one or two quarterbacks in the league right now playing at a higher level than he is right now. There's also something that's been happening here. And I talked about this last night with on my podcast. But basically, I think what we're seeing is the identity that Dan Quinn really talked about during the offseason. I think the team's taking on the identity of what he wanted. You know, defensively, yes, there have been step-up performances the last 2 weeks. It's still a concern for me because of the opponents. But we'll see. But one thing is absolutely true about the entire team: offense, defense, special teams. They play with great urgency. They try really hard. I know that sounds goofy when you're talking about a pro team. They play with high motor. They play fast. They play physical. There are limitations, you know, and maybe a few more will be revealed down the road, maybe this Sunday. But Dan Quinn promised a team in the offseason, promised a team that people would look at and understand what they're trying to achieve identity-wise. And he talked about, we want to play fast, we want to be physical, we want to be relentless. That's what you're going to see from our team, you know, in this first year, you know, win or lose. And that's what they're doing. You've got to give Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and their respective staffs a lot of credit for executing so far on what they said early on after they got hired, that they had this aligned vision. You know, Peters saw Quinn as having an aligned vision of the certain player profile that they wanted to go after. They called it certain player traits. You know, Jahan Dotson didn't fit that profile, you know. Out the door he went. There was a ton of flying around the last few weeks, and on Sunday in particular on defense. But, you know, no play for me kind of exemplified more of what Dan Quinn's been talking about. And by the way, you know, essentially backed up with the players he kept on the roster versus those that he dismissed, than that Austin Ekeler 50-yard run. And I talked about this yesterday briefly, but if you watch that play, Terry McLaurin, Luke McCaffrey, John Bates, and Olamide Zaccheaus are all downfield with Ekeler on a 50-yard run. They were still blocking in the case of Terry specifically, but when Ekeler got stripped of the football at the end of that play, Zaccheaus jumped on it and recovered it. Now, if he hadn't been there, McCaffrey could have been the guy to recover it. If he hadn't been there, Bates could have been the guy to recover it. Brandon Coleman, the rookie from TCU, was hustling his ass down the field. You know, they are competing start to finish with limitations in some spots, but they've taken on very much the identity that the coach and I think the general manager were looking to develop in this first year. And then the player performances, you know, after kind of, you know, they're developing this identity that he promised. They looked for the guys who fit these, you know, profiles, these player traits. Ton of these guys, you know, are playing. And, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, that a lot was made about the free agency class, that, you know, lots of one-year deals, short-term deals for, you know, not a lot of money, kind of players that, you know, could be thought of as potential starters or role players, but really kind of, we'll see what happens with them. They're culture guys. We know these guys. We'll bring them in. We want to establish that, but you know, they fit kind of the personality and the competitive profile that they're looking for, that's super important to Peters and Quinn. And not only did they get the right guys so far, those guys are playing well. I mean, I think it started with, you know, the veterans that they trusted coming in could change the culture, but could also play. Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, Austin Eckler. And then you added guys like Luvu and Armstrong and Biotish and Allegretti, you know, Chin, Fowler Jr., Igbinoghene, Farrell, who's missed the last few games. You know, these are guys that have played, that understood the coach, understood the general manager to a certain degree by extension of the coach, of what they were looking for. And, you know, then they added guys like McNichols. And how about this dude, number 57, Nick Ballore on special teams? It's hard right now not to be impressed with the ability that Peters and Quinn had collectively with their staffs to size up talent, good players, but also get the right people and get them into the organization to set the tone of who and what they want this place to be. It's been very apparent, their signings, regardless of the length of the contract or the size of the contract, that these guys were brought in to set this kind of tone and create this kind of identity. You'd have to inject them with truth serum to find out if they thought they would get these kinds of performances. I'm sure they saw it in Luvu. I'm sure they thought Wagner had something left and Eckler had something left. You know, I'm sure that they felt confident that Biotish would be a good, solid, you know, veteran center to help a young quarterback. You know, count me as impressed through five games. You know, they're a good team. They're, if not a very good team, they've got an elite quarterback or a quarterback playing at an elite level. And they are delivering right now on the Quinn Adam Peters aligned vision when it comes to identity, on what they want their football team to be. There's a long way to go. Things change. Injuries happen. The number one determining factor in NFL games and seasons, health, you know, and if the health turned, knock on wood that it doesn't, you know, things could change in terms of the results on the field. But I think that they've created something, or the beginning of something, that is sustainable. You know, this organization for 25 years had no culture. It had bad culture. It was anti-culture. And they didn't care that they didn't have culture. And then on top of it, they didn't have good players. I'm impressed, and I am not thinking that Sunday is like a no-chancer. I'm not thinking that at all. I think that when you walk off that team bus and into that stadium on Sunday, and number five is your quarterback, you got a shot, period. Because he is making all of the good things that I just talked about with Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, he's making all of those things noticeable, because the identity stuff and the culture stuff would not be noticeable to anything other than a very discerning eye if they weren't 4-1, if they didn't have a great quarterback and great quarterback play. Jaden Daniels makes all of the good things they're doing across the board organizationally much more apparent, much more noticeable than if they weren't getting this kind of quarterback play. Because he's clearly the number one reason for 4-1. But the people that picked him got it right so far. And they seem to have gotten it right from a person, a personal profile standpoint. I'm all in right now on now and the future, but with that dude on this team and with that guy coaching it and with the players that they brought into this locker room, there's something happening here. Even if they do lose Sunday, it's all right. I don't think it's going to be something that we roll our eyes and say, oh, Jesus, they fooled us. I don't think that's coming anytime soon, as long as the quarterback is on the field, healthy and upright. They got a legit shot Sunday. The betting line doesn't tell me anything, by the way, if you're wondering. And the NFL's been pretty easy to predict so far this year with sort of going against. There's going to be more Washington action, no doubt, than Baltimore action. As there was last week, it didn't work out. But it's not going to be crazy. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I say three things. One, this is a legit good football team. There is nothing flukish about it. Number two, Jaden Daniels is playing at an elite level. When you have elite level quarterbacking, you got a shot against anybody. And I don't think that's flukish through five games. And then three, it certainly feels like there's something going on, you know, behind just the great quarterback and the great offensive play. There is an identity developing. They seem to have been very focused on a certain kind of player and personality profile. They want competitive. They want urgent. They want team first. I think they got it in their quarterback, which is probably the most important person to get it right with. But I think they got it in so many other ways. Five games in, what do you say and what do you think happens on Sunday? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
I asked you this a couple of weeks ago, but he keeps doing it. When Jaden makes a play on the move and throws the ball 60 yards downfield or drops it in a bucket to Diami, what is the impact on that on the defense?
Yes. Yeah, it can be demoralizing, you know, because all of a sudden you're created some long yardage scenarios, you know, just what I was referring to in the third downs. And so to have a big shot to, you know, even when the person's guarded well, to put it in the only spot it could go, the play that comes to mind before today was the one to Terry at the end of the Cincinnati game, where there was only really one spot that you could throw that pass. And he had a couple of those scenarios today. And I thought, quite honestly, it was a grimy start for the offense. It didn't go good. And I had told him inside, sometimes you learn as much from that start as you do from the 27 for 29, because different ways. But at the end, what I can tell you is, like, he processes quickly. All right, this is how they're going to go. Then this is how we're going to go play. And so you learn from those as well. And I'd much prefer lessons and learning after winning. I can tell you that. But all of its information, and he's such a remarkable competitor that he does learn.
That was a question that David Aldridge from The Athletic asked Dan Quinn after the game on Sunday, and I think we played it yesterday, but I wanted to play it again because I just loved the first part of that answer when he said, yeah, it can be demoralizing. You know, talking about that, you know, getting away from the pressure and the 66-yard bomb that he threw to Terry. Dan Quinn was a defensive coordinator. He's been a defensive head coach. This was what he was looking for in a quarterback that could demoralize a defense, a quarterback who you think you've got him dead to right because it's third and 13 and you got the right pressure dialed up and you're going to get to him and you're going to force a punt. And then all of a sudden he breaks your heart and he gets outside the pocket and he throws a 66-yard bomb and you're lining up to play first and goal defense 10 seconds later. What was the word? I think I remember the word that Quinn used to describe Jaden Daniels when he was on with the Junkies. This was in the spring before the draft, Denton, and they were playing one word association. You know, they named the quarterback and it was a quarterback that was going to be drafted. And then what was the first word that came to his mind? And when they said Jaden Daniels, do you remember what the word was?
I believe it was playmaker.
Was it playmaker? I thought it was explosive.
It was one of the two.
Whatever. Playmaker, it suffices. It was something that essentially said, that's the kind of guy, I want the guy that demoralizes me as a defensive coordinator, that has that ability to all of the sudden, in a long yardage scenario, break my spirit. And that's what he did on that play. That's what he did on that fourth down and three when they went for it. And Owusu-Koramoah came in off the edge and didn't play contain. I don't even know if it would have mattered if he had played contain. And Jaden just kind of laughed and took it down the sideline for 34 yards. It's the kind of play that Mahomes has been making for several years now. Josh Allen makes. Lamar Jackson makes. You know, these are the plays that separate the really good quarterbacks from the elite level quarterbacks in the league. The guys that have an act two to on a play, you know, a part two to a play. Like, oh, it didn't go the way we wanted it to, but I'm going to get outside the pocket, or I'm going to move around, and I'm going to create a second play. This is the way Quinn described it earlier in the season, and I think it's a good way to describe it. It's like there's the play, and then there's the follow-up within the same play. And the elite guys have that second play within that one play. And that's the one that usually demoralizes a defense. And he's got it. I mean, he has that elite trait. The difference-making trait between really good and elite. Now, to get to really good, you've got to do other things really well. It can't be all about the second part. The other first part's got to be something that you excel in as well. So far, he's passed that with flying colors. He can read defenses. He can process. He can throw with anticipation. He can throw short. He can throw medium. He can throw long. He can throw to the sidelines. He can throw over the middle of the field. He can throw when he's got time. And he can throw and he can process quickly and get it out when he's under pressure. But it's that demoralizing play that Quinn was talking about that he was looking to find in a quarterback because he knows as a defensive guy what it feels like to have them, you know, first and 10, now it's second and 11, now it's third and 13, you got them going backwards, it's down and distance advantage defense, and then all of a sudden, 10 seconds later, you're lining up playing first and goal defense because of what he just did. It's, and he's done this how many times? I mean, look, I think I said this last week after the Arizona game. This is not a coordinator or a quarterback that says, oh, it's third and long, let's run a draw. Let's run a quick screen. Let's run a bubble. Let's try to get some of the yards back and punt it. Or, you know, look, if they're in field goal range, you don't want to get knocked out of field goal range, or you want to improve your field goal range, that's one thing. You might run a bubble. You might run a draw. But this team last week on third and 13, they dropped him back a couple of times. Completed to Noah Brown first down. On Sunday, third and 13, they're throwing a bomb off schedule. He's not looking on a bubble. They didn't run a draw. Now, they did run a screen to Eckler when they were up 31 to 6, and that was smart because they had just dropped him back two plays earlier and he had gotten sacked. So you do want to see better judgment with big leads as it relates to your quarterback's health. They did drop him back at 31-6 in the fourth quarter or with like 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. And he got, you know, mangled around a little bit on a sack. And then the next third down throw, which was third and long, they threw a screen. But that was game situation. Protect the quarterback in that moment. And then eventually take him out of the game. All right. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. The breaking NFL news. Robert Saleh let go as the Jets head coach today. Fired. We'll let you know. Denton will have it in his news and updates as to whom they name interim coach. All right, phone lines are open. They are packed. What do you make of this team after five games, and what kind of shot do you give them Sunday? I think through five games, this is a good, very good team with an elite-level quarterback, and I give them a really good shot of going into Baltimore and winning on Sunday. Skip, it's been a while. What's up?
Kevin, how are you doing, man?
How you doing, Skip?
So wonderful. So wonderful. I haven't called in since beginning of the season, so I just wanted to let you know, I do believe. I've been around for a while, as you know. I go back when I was a kid, Vince Lombardi, George Allen, then Joe Gibbs and Bobby Bethard. And let me focus on Bobby Bethard because this is where it starts. It starts with that general manager, okay? Adam Peters, him deciding on Dan Quinn, which there was some resistance. If we remember, there was a lot of resistance to Dan Quinn.
Yep.
Then Dan Quinn bringing in the staff that he has, the veteran and mixed with, you know, up-and-coming excellent coaches, and then the draft. And then the quarterback, okay? And you and Denton identified this guy. I remember last year I was looking at LSU games. I said, okay, let me check this guy out. And I said, oh, wow. You know, like, he has the arm talent, and he can run like he's very athletic, but he also processes well. I said, this guy's got it all. I mean, the only thing was he was kind of skinny. I was a little nervous about that. I said, wow, it looks like he could get broken. But you know what? Even big guys can get broken in the NFL. It's about avoiding that. And this guy, he avoids hits. I mean, he's hard to touch. So with the arm talent, and most importantly, Kevin, that I'm impressed with this guy, his temperament, his mind, his personality. Totally opposite of RG3. So I'm not even worried. I mean, the guys love him. He rallies people around him just because of his personality. So I'm like, this is real. We have the organization from top to bottom. We have the talent infusion. 33 new players.
Yeah, I mean, let's just enjoy this. I mean, it's possible we're not at the beginning of something that is going to be, you know, a next several year thing of being legit good and having an elite level quarterback. But in the moment, it looks that way. We've not been able to enjoy this football team for a long time. Let's enjoy it and let's not limit them. This is one of the things that I talked about early in the season. I'm like, I'm not bailing on this season. Like, if he ends up being really good, you got a shot in the NFC to win 9-10 games and make it to the postseason. And here's the thing. All along, it's like, wouldn't you rather, like, the people early on, Skip, and it's great to hear your voice. I got so many calls I want to get to. The people early on, Denton, over the summer, five, six, seven wins would be just fine. Okay, well, if we get to the end of it and six or seven wins, looks like Arrow pointed up, it's fine then. It's not fine in September. Not in the NFL. Like, anything's possible in the NFL, especially if you have that guy at that position. So I'm not limiting them right now. I do think defensively it's a concern still. My concern level hasn't been completely erased by decent performances against Arizona and Cleveland. I need to see it against Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and Justice Hill and Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman and Andrews and Kolar and this whole group, because Baltimore is lethal offensively. And my guess is we're going to see a shootout, you know, on Sunday. But, you know, I'll take my chances with our guy. Let's go to Greg in Gaithersburg. Greg, what do you say? Go.
Hey, Kevin. I agree with everything you're saying. What I've noticed and I really like is we seem to have good depth on offense now. And like with the running backs and receivers, I also like the fact that they seem to be taking Allen and Payne out a couple plays each series and alternating them and bringing them in and keeping them fresher, which I think is helping with the pass rush. And I think that if we can keep doing that against Jackson, that'll help ease some of the pressure off the secondary. Quick question to you is, after Daniels, we have Mariota. Who's after him? What is the quarterback chart?
Well, it's Marcus Mariota, who's the backup, and he was activated after being on injured reserve, and then it's Jeff Driscoll.
Okay.
Yeah, Mariota is the backup.
Right.
And apparently, by all accounts, has been an incredible sort of mentor to Jaden going back to the moment they drafted him.
Well, that's good. I mean, everybody's got their roles, but I've been impressed. It's glad to be able to go into a game without having anxiety of them blowing it or losing it on something stupid. And I think they got a 50-50 chance as long as, you know, they don't shoot themselves in the foot or nobody gets hurt or anything like that. So I'm very positive, feeling good.
Thanks, Greg. Good call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Sean and Frederick. Sean, go ahead.
Kevin, good morning. It has been absolutely awesome and absolutely have a shot Sunday. First time getting season tickets. I was a little hesitant at first about doing it, but I'm telling you, man, I'm glad I did it with the wife. It's been awesome. Every week that we've gone has been great.
That's good, Sean. Appreciate the call. Yeah. I'm picturing Sunday. This is, you know, I think I mentioned this yesterday. Let me mention it again today for those that missed. This is the biggest early season, regular season game this franchise has had since probably the early to mid-90s. That is not an exaggeration. Yes, they've played, you know, some high-profile national television games early in the season on Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football. You know, they opened up with the Cowboys on Sunday night in 2010. They've had some of those. But in terms of NFL fans, NFL pundits, etc., this is the game of the upcoming weekend in one of the games of the first 5 weeks, first 6 weeks of the season. Like, every big, high-profile, meaningful, marquee game that this organization has played in the last 30 years, it was late in the season. You know, the 2012 season ender against the Cowboys for the division with RG3. The games that they've had, you know, to get into the playoffs, the Philly game when Sean Taylor picked up the fumble in 2005. There have been some late season games. You know, I would say in terms of a regular season game that wasn't at the very end of the season, but it was Thanksgiving Day, the anticipation and the hype from NFL fans looking forward to seeing 9-1 Dallas against 6-3-1 Washington back in 2016, that felt big leading up to that. Washington had just pummeled Green Bay on Sunday Night Football 42-17 or whatever it was. Dallas had Dak as a rookie and the Cowboys were back. And this was like the rivalry back on just for a brief fleeting moment. But that was Thanksgiving. That's late November. They haven't played in a September or October game where NFL fans, not our fans, where NFL fans are like, gotta see that game. Gotta see Washington and Baltimore in forever. Let's go to Junkyard Dog in D.C. What's up?
How you doing, Kevin?
How are you, sir?
All righty. Well, You know, Big John used to always say, two teams that if a team presses, the other team doesn't like to be pressed.
To be pressed, yeah.
Right. So you got these two teams, you got these two football teams. Both of them are so much alike. They almost mirror each other because their quarterbacks almost mirror each other except for, you know, Lamar has been a two-time MVP, and he's been in the league a long time. But this kid has so much talent. He has so much upside, he does. Then you got the running game. Robinson, Eckler, McNichols.
Number one and number two rushing teams in the league right now.
Right. Then you got King Henry. Now, the main word I heard you say, demoralization. The only thing about this game is that the Ravens have a demoralized running back and a quarterback that can demoralize you.
Yep.
And the only thing about I'm afraid of is that they have not faced a running back like the guy from the King. So therefore, you know, the thing is, can they wrap up? Can they wrap him up? Can they keep him from going 40, 50 yards, getting into the secondary?
He can do
because
it.
Once he gets into the secondary, it's over with.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I think that I'm afraid of. Because with their running game or whatever, and along with Lamar, you know,
Junkyard? You know what happens when their two dudes score? It means number five's coming back out onto the field. You know, like this is the Cincinnati game. I mean, whatever, we're back on the field. That means we're scoring. They got to be concerned about number five and what he can do to demoralize their defense. And I'll tell you what, watching that Cincinnati game, and I mentioned at the top of the show, I went and watched the condensed version of the game. Look, it's Burrow, it's Chase, it's Higgins. Get it. Understood. One of the best tandems and, you know, quarterback wide receiver groups in the league. They just took Baltimore's secondary apart. You know, Kyle Hamilton, who's an exceptional player, he basically plays close to the line of scrimmage. They use him in pressures. They use him as a run stopper. Number 32 back there is they just attacked him. Marcus Williams attacked him. They had their way with Baltimore. Cincinnati did, and Buffalo didn't, in part because it just started off poorly for them on Sunday Night Football when Henry went 90 yards on like the first play of the game, or you know, very early in the game. But I think Jaden Daniels in this offense will move the football and score points Sunday. All right, everybody on hold, stay there. We got to get another break in, but we will continue to take calls, so stay there. G, Will, Kurt, Lou, Robert, Bruce, Bill, everybody stay on hold. What is your opinion now that we've got five games under our belt? They're 4-1, and what kind of shot do you give them Sunday in one of the biggest games on the NFL calendar so far? Yeah, one of the biggest games of the year so far, Washington at Baltimore on Sunday. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Big NFL news of the day. The Jets are parting ways with head coach Robert Saleh. This comes after another loss, this time early in London against the Minnesota Vikings. While it would be hilarious if Nathaniel Hackett, Aaron Rodgers' right-hand man, was going to be the interim head coach, it will not be him. Instead, defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich will take over as interim head coach for the remainder of the season. In the NFL last night on Monday Night Football, the Chiefs improved to 5-0 with a 26-13 win over the New Orleans Saints. Patrick Mahomes, 28-39, 331 yards, no touchdowns, did throw an interception. Kareem Hunt carried the ball 27 times for 108 yards and a touchdown. The Saints have now lost three in a row and are sitting at 2-3. MLB playoffs, Detroit beat Cleveland 3-0 to tie that series 1-1. The Royals beat the Yankees 4-2 to tie that series 1-1. You get games three in both the Phillies Mets at 5:08 and Dodgers Padres at 9:01. Both of those series tied up at 1-1. And that's what's trending.
So Denton found the word that Dan Quinn used when he was playing one-word association with the junkies back before the draft in the spring. When he was asked about Jaden Daniels, he said, game changer. And that's what he was really kind of referring to when he said it can be demoralizing. He should have said demoralizing. You know, I was just telling Denton, it's like, I can't believe we have one of those guys, because they're just so rare to find. But when you've, as a football fan, rooted for the team that's been playing the Ravens, playing the Chiefs, playing the Bills, I'm using those three guys as the best examples of demoralizers, you know, over the last, you know, 6-7 years. And you're rooting for the other team, or you've bet on the other team. I've got my arm up in the air right now many times, and it's like 3rd and 15, and you're like, okay, we might get them off the field here. We might get the ball back. And then demoralizing, because, you know, one guy wearing 15 runs around and finds 87, you know, 30 yards down the field. The guy number 8 in purple runs around and then runs for 25 yards. And the guy wearing 17 in red, white, and blue runs around and then throws a ball, you know, on the sideline to Diggs for 27 yards. And it's like, nope, they're going to keep the ball. They're probably going to go down and score, and I'm going to lose this bet, or I'm going to lose, my team's going to lose this game. And that's what right now, it certainly would appear, look, it appeared to be that the case in college when you watched him, that he was a demoralizer to defenses. Didn't matter what kind of position you had him in, there was always a chance that they were going to stay on the field and they were going to end up scoring. And so far through five games, he has shown that very elite trait several times already. Twice in the game on Sunday. Phone lines are open. What do you make of these first five games? Do you give them a shot Sunday in Baltimore? Let's go to Lou in D.C. Lou, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
All the time. What's going on, Kev?
What's up, Lou?
Nothing much, man. I'm a believer now, man. Anything is possible. Like you say all the time, Kevin. What do you say? It's a week-to-week league, and anything is possible, man. You see the Ravens struggling on Sunday against Cincinnati, a team that we won in a handle them. So I think anything is possible.
Yeah, Cincinnati's a good team. Don't let the record fool you. They actually are very capable. I mean, I think most NFL fans know that.
Yeah, they okay, but it's kind of like, you know, if you look at the entire league, Kevin, I kind of sit back and kind of watched. It's not a couple of teams that you have to worry about. Like, I don't see any team that we could go out there and not, you know, be competing with any other team. I just don't see that. I'm not afraid of the Ravens.
Not afraid
anymore.
Of anybody right now with the quarterback that we have. Totally agree.
And the quarterback and the coaching staff, we got people that's accountable. Like, before that, we didn't have that. And now we have that, and every Sunday it gives us a chance to go out there and make a game out of it. And hopefully come Sunday, I mean, they took them. They're talking about, what, 7-point underdog? I don't care about being an underdog, man. I think we're going to go out there and beat the Ravens. That's the way I'm feeling, because we got five. We got good coach. We got good ownership. Just like the other, what's going on with the Jets and every, you know, all these other teams, Cleveland, and that used to be us before, probably like 2 years ago. Now it's a different, man. I'm trying to tell you, man. It's happening so fast. I'm trying to catch up, but it is what it is. I'm enjoying every moment.
You're and excited, Lou. Everybody
every
is
Sunday.
Appreciate hearing yes, from sir. You as always. Everybody stay there. We got to get another break in. I'm up against a hard break here at the top of the hour. But G, Will, Kurt, Hugh, Lonnie, Bruce, Bill, stay on hold. We'll get to you. What are you feeling right now after five games? I think this is a very good football team, and I think they're going to Baltimore with a legit chance to win to get to 5-1. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, theteam980.com.